I'm good with the performers versus posers, and then we can kind of transition into anything for the most part. Chief, I know I started to tell a story on that last clip that was discussed, and we can go in that arena as well, and I can kind of talk about that more. And honestly speaking, I'm open up to Q&A type of deal for the most part. It's nothing scripted, right? This is like an unscripted version of.
Eric, I know you led in with that comment. If that's, I don't know if that's on your mind, something you want to talk about, because I saw you and another guy kind of going, not back and forth in a negative way by any means, but just kind of like, hey, that's, we're onto something here kind of thing. Is that something you want to kind of explore?
You know, I think it's perspective, right? It's coming from that, you know, you're chief, right? You're senior. The dynamic, I think, changes of how we look at our peers and how we look at our leaders. And I had a couple of thoughts that I had written down. And I think, you know, especially what my boy Jason, he's the guy that had commented on the post. You know, it's kind of like, where do you draw the line between the person that's trying to be the poser, the person that's braggadocious and the one that's running for the limelight and trying to get those kudos, and the person that's really maybe just not where they need to be, but someone is pushing them forward and saying, no, that's our guy, even though, you know, they may not be ready because they are in that circle. That's really hard for folks at the lower levels to handle, because one, the feedback that comes with that, you know, from a peer level, if I call for some accountability, or I call out a teammate and say, hey, look, we're not vibing, or I need more, right? The team needs more. That's a really sensitive area, because, you know, you're both kind of on that same level, your peers, you're promotable against each other. And then it becomes that, you know, well, what are you saying? I'm doing me, you know, who are you to judge type thing. And
yeah,
I think there's definitely some dynamics there between the person that wants to be the poser and is okay with that and is going for gold, and then the one that people are pushing up as gold, that's just not ready. And then how do the people on the side, or the people that are spectating that, the real hard chargers, right, that may not be in that circle, how do they reconcile that, and how do they interact? You know, I think that's where he's kind of at right now. And I think that's the first thing that comes to my mind when we talk about it.
That's awesome. So for everybody, thank you for joining us. You're on Real Talk with Caleb. Got a couple of my brothers on here, and who you just heard talking is we'll go by, just call him by first name, as Eric. And so Eric and I had an opportunity to serve together, and, you know, we're still serving together, obviously, but just in different spaces now, but in a time and a place, in a cold place, in a very windy place, out at Ellsworth, South Dakota. But brother, thanks for coming on. And tonight's episode is going to be a little bit different. As you can't tell, you just dropped in and we're already chatting, and because I just don't like to stop the flow. And this is a continuation of performers versus posers, and we might go in a couple different directions tonight. This is unscripted, and so you're going to get some real talk for sure. We got Chuck back on. Y'all remember him from the last episode 39, where he was dropping wisdom all over the place. Brought Chuck back on for an extended conversation, kind of where we led off. If you had an opportunity to see the trailer, then you know where Chuck's going to be heading. And so, yeah, just thanks for being on the show tonight, brothers. Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself, and audience, if y'all want to know more, there'll be a couple of links in the show notes where you can go and just hear a little bit more about the personal and professional side of both these heroes we have on tonight. But Eric, what do you want the audience to know a little bit about you as we continue to dig into this topic?
Yeah, thanks. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Honored and humbled. Eric Claiborne, Master Sergeant Claiborne. I'm here at Ellsworth Air Force Base. Tomorrow's my last day as the program, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Program Manager. And then I'm off to Maxwell for First Sergeant Academy, and then coming back to do some first shirting for Ellsworth Air Force Base. So I guess your audience got the exclusive scoop on the next movie.
I mean, do I need to go back and like trim that out?
No, you're good. You can share that.
I'm saying we got the technology to do that.
No, I'm not hiding it, right? Anyone that's talked to me kind of knows where I'm going. I just hadn't been real braggadocious because, you know, just like I said, I want to earn that diamond before I start throwing it around. But yeah, so that's what I've been doing. I've been teaching folks about diversity and inclusion, learning myself. It's been a journey. Now the next chapter is for sure. And I'm a 20-year mechanic, aircraft mechanic. I hit 20 in May. So this is me kind of doing victory laps now, bonus points, and trying to continue to be a service.
So. You're absolutely a service brother. I know we were chit-chatting a little bit before even Chuck, who was delayed upon arrival. But, you know, we were catching up a little bit. And, man, you're an inspiration, both of y'all. Not to give y'all big heads, but, you know, because hat sizes only go so far. But, you know, y'all are both in a serious, real leaders, real inspiration. You could just tell, like, by the way people act around y'all. And just so thankful to have y'all in my life, part of my life. And we're in this little space right here on this virtual space, just sharing some thoughts to pay it back. So, man, I appreciate you so much. And Victory Labs is really that, like you said, that service back to our airmen. We got a few years left in our tanks, you know, for most of us here at least us here on the show tonight. And we don't know how much more we got in the tank, but we got some in the tank. Yeah. So we're gonna pay it forward. So, man, I appreciate and love both of y'all. So, Chuck, over to you. So some of the audience might not have heard your last one, and that's not their fault. We're gonna reshare it so they can get a good dose of you. But what do you want them to know about you, man?
Hey, Senior Master Sergeant Charles Ball, Chuck is to go by. Stationed here in Jay Bear, Alaska. I'm on 4AO, Health Service Management. You know, I neglected to mention during our last conversation, I'm a proud defender. So shout out to Defender Nation. Cool. And stuff. That kind of set my foundation in terms of how I grew as an airman and kind of how I lead today as a medic and Air Force leader. Eric, I gotta jump on that board. I gotta give a shout out real quick. Senior enlisted leader for Crucial Convo. I've been watching the work that Eric been doing up in the DNI world. So strong work on that end, brother. Appreciate everything you're doing to pave the way for our airmen to remove barriers to success and stuff. So shout out to you. And then I have to put a little plug in for Crucial Convo as well. Follow us on Facebook, Crucial Convo. And that's pretty much it about me, Chief. You know, I don't like to talk about myself too much. I'm better at talking about others than myself. So I'm just ready to get up into the show.
I know that's the truth. You are both humble individuals. Just shoot me that link, man. I know you just gave it to everybody, but shoot the link. It's so easy for people to click on it. You know what I mean? Like, they can even be leave the podcast, click that link and see what you're about. And so Eric being as humble as he is, you know, Chuck, he didn't mention about pretty much, I feel comfortable saying this, that set the standard, for maybe the Air Force, but definitely the Global Strike Command on what that looks like, right? From a diversity, equity, and inclusion standpoint. So, shout out to you, brother. I know you got a great team that you're working with, but it takes a refined professional like yourself to lead that team and overcome so much adversity along the way, the nose, you know. And I know, like I said earlier, you're a disruptor. So I know that was kind of fueling some of your fire. But at the end of the day, man, you still got to go through that. And speaking of that, you probably had to blaze your way through some posers out there in the world. So thank you for what you both of y'all have done. So let's just jump into this. You know, Eric, I love where you were going earlier. If we could just start with you, man, and just kind of continue that conversation about how do people reconcile it when they're sitting on the sidelines, and not necessarily the sidelines, but on the side watching in. And yeah, Let's just have a good conversation, guys.
Yeah. You know, I listened to the podcast, and then, you know, Chuck had said, you know, the shine won't last forever. And that is certainly true, by all means, right? It may not last when they go home and take their boots off, right? And hang their jacket up. It stopped right there. you know, but for a lot of our guys out there that have served under folks that have just, you know, been ran up the ranks and clearly have, you know, no regard for those under them, it's like the number one question on people's mouths is, how did they get there, right?
How'd this happen?
Right. Like,
where did Caleb come from? Why did he get here?
Oh, definitely not you, Chief, but, you know, some folks. And yep. and then it's compounded by the fact when you got folks that are looking at their board scores for the fourth and fifth time and they're just in the gutter and they're like, what is going on here, right? I've been given 110%.
You know what you had been given in a lot of cases is some good feedback on why that board score is the way it is. That's a whole other conversation. We can get into that as we go along, but go ahead, brother.
You know, I think, you know, you said it, feedback, right? It's that was kind of my, you know, when I started racking my brain and I'm like, okay, what are these guys probably going to tell me when I throw this out there in the podcast? You know, what are those nuggets they're going to drop? And the only thing I could come up with myself was, you know, that feedback and how critical that is, not only from the top. And I know we just switched to the ALQ feedback model, right? Yeah. ACA type model. But from not only from the top, but from the bottom, what are your folks saying about you? Mm. What are your peers saying about you? And how do we get that officially on a clean cut level where it's not dragging people through the mud or hurting feelings and screwing up team dynamics. Yeah. We've done it before, but there's got to be something when folks look up there and say, well, okay, that guy or that girl clearly does not care about me or us, right? They've shown it, but how did they get there?
Man, Eric, I got a question, bro. Do you think we as leaders breed that type of culture, right? Because a lot of time, people always ask us, how do I get promoted? I can't tell you how to get promoted. I can tell you how to lead, but you have leaders, right? As well as mentors and coaches. Right. Hey, do X, Y, and Z. This will help you get promoted. This will put you up in a room with people so they can see you.
Right.
So they can see you, right? Not that you're doing things out of just because that's something that you enjoy, right? So is it one of those things where we're breeding a culture of posers by telling people how to get promoted versus teaching them how to lead? I know when folks come to me, right? And they was like, see, I don't know what to do, right? I want to get promoted. And what are the things I need to do? I was like, I can't tell you what to do, right? Mm-hmm. Follow your heart. What are the things that you're passionate about? Mm-hmm. Do those things, mm-hmm. right? If you do the things that you're passionate about and then you create leadership opportunities based off of it, that's what the Air Force is doing. Air Force is promoting leaders, right? How are you leading? You can love playing video games, right? I tell this to my airmen. You can love playing video games. Guess what? If you set up tournaments on a base or within a local community and you bring other people along with you, now you're creating leadership opportunities. Now you're getting after those comprehensive air and fitness pillars,
right?
That we talk about where we're building on that social rim, right? Where you're getting out there and you're doing things, right? Because a lot of times you hear people talking about, oh yeah, you need to be president of top three. You need to be a vice president, secretary, treasurer. Not crapping up on those organizations because they're important, right? Because those organizations are responsible for getting out the development of our airmen. But what if development is all I'm passionate about, right? That's the things that I want to do. I'm not going to be a president of an organization just because I'm going to have time to be in front of a chief bait when we meet up on a monthly basis where he can see who I am. No. Right. You kind of alluded to, like, what are the people below me talking about, right? Now I'm getting up in a room with those airmen, with those NCOs, and I'm giving them development. Because here's the thing, man, it took me 10 years before I got a mentor. I was a lost soul for 10 years of my military career. Now that I've been educated, I got those mentors, I got those coaches and stuff. Now it's like, all right, I cannot let anybody else go through the crap that I went through where I was blind for my first 10 years. So those are the things I care about. And when people come, hey, how do I get promoted? take care of your airmen.
Yeah.
Take care of your airmen. In turn, your airmen will take care of you, where you will get promoted.
Right.
That's all it takes. Right. There is no secret to this, right? They give us our enlisted force structure that tell us the things that we're responsible for. Do those things, right? And create opportunities for yourself and for others for the things that you're passionate about. Because you're going to hear those mentors, go do this, go do that. Don't do it if you're not passionate about it. That's how you become a poser.
Yes.
Preach. Chuck, you had some great points there. You're talking about the heart of leadership. That's what you're talking about, right? So there is a little bit of a science. You know, let's use Eric as an example. And so this doesn't pertain to you, Eric, but you know, we're using it as an example since there's three of us on here. And say you and Chuck are in a competitive zone, if you will. Let's say you're both master sergeants. And you know, so for the audience, we're going to go dive into some Air Force specific, but pull from it whatever you can for your organization. But most audiences from a military and Air Force background specifically. So, you know, both of y'all are competing, right? And both of you are taking care of your airmen, right? So both of you are doing the heart and the soul of leadership, as Pastor Chuck laid out for us. However, Chuck, I'm helping Chuck write his EPR. I've been around the block a time or two, and I know what goes into an EPR from a science perspective. Right. I know the words that you should be using, tying it to NDS, NSS, highlighting you actually taking care of the airmen, highlighting your levels of leadership and your impact, the outside specific achievements, all those seven categories right now that the board currently looks at. So I can take Chuck's heart and emotionally connected to the emotions of the board members. That's science. Right. I can do that. I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying people that have seen these things, been on board, you can do that. You can show people how to do that. Doesn't mean that you're leading any less. But you get left out in the wind and you get a low board score and you can't figure out why. Well, because when you pull the EPR apart, it looks like it's for a technical sergeant, right? Or it looks like it's for a staff sergeant. So there is some science. I'm not shooting down anything you're saying at all, Chuck. You're absolutely right. And I think you're giving great advice, especially when people come to you like that. Hey, I can teach you, I can show you, I can coach you how to lead. But there is a little bit of a science to it as well that I think that Eric was talking about a little bit when he first came on and talking about like, hey, well, that's not a real leader, but they're getting promoted. So a lot of people can really help with the science, but they don't do the hard work of feedback saying, hey, Eric, you know what, bro? I love you, man. You're a good dude, but man, you ain't getting a cut in these two areas right here. And I'm not going to help you with the science part of it till we get you to the standard you need to be at. The rest of your EPR is going to reflect appropriately. That's going to read right. But hey, there's some people out here outperforming that. And guess what? They're the ones that are going to get the pushes, the strat recommendations and things like that. And the rest of the body of the EPR has to look that way. And I know we're in the future, we're going to go to narrative, and I don't even know what that's going to look like. But right now, I think it's the feedback that's missing, because a lot of people might like Eric in this example and never go up and tell Eric why he ain't me. I'll just keep doing what you're doing, bro. You're killing it, man. You're doing good. Hey, you know what? Next year, man, next year is going to be your year. It ain't ever going to be Eric's year, because nobody's ever helped Eric write that EPR the way it needs to be written to reflect the leadership right. That he's executing at, right? So, Chuck, I just want to make that point, because there's people out there probably listening to you and be like, dude, I am freaking leading my airmen. I do care about my airmen, and my ass still ain't getting promoted. So anyway, I just wanted to touch on that piece of it. So,
oh, no, you're absolutely correct, Chief, in capturing it, right? And understanding, like you said, the science behind it. So I 100% agree, because if you can't put that to paper, the efforts you're doing, you're doing a disservice to yourself. And that's where those mentors and coaches come in at, right? I can tell you, when I latched onto that mentor, I thought I knew what I was doing from a science standpoint with writing and stuff. And my mentor was like, this looked like crap, right? You know, he sat down, he taught me, right, sent it to him, first response, it looked like crap. All right, you know, go back, sit down with him again, it looked like crap. And then it was the third time, it's like, I'm not going to do this with you again. Right, here's what it needs to look like. Here's how you capture it to capture that science behind it. So 100% agree with you. And for those out there, that do not send your enlisted performance reports to your mentors and coaches, I encourage you to do so. Right. My EPR closes out in several months. I've already have a draft of that EPR, and me as a senior master sergeant has already sent that thing out to my mentors and stuff. So work those things early.
I need a copy of it. I'm just saying.
Work those things early. Work those things early. Oh, I got you, Chief. I'll send it to you. So you can put that science to behind the things that I'm doing and lead and stuff. So agree 100%, Chief.
What you thinking, Eric?
They're both of y'all spot on, you know. I've done kind of more of what Chuck's talking about over the recent past, trying to get folks out there and to fill these gaps. What I tell folks, like, there's always, while we've got folks complaining, there's always places for people to be of service, right? Mm-hmm. The worse that people say your base is, the more opportunity there is for you to be great, right? Or for you to help somebody. So, I mean, unless everything is perfect and tip top shape, there's effort for you to apply and reward for you to reap, right?
Yeah.
And so I that's been my thing, is trying to push people towards these things, and hopefully it aligns with your passion. And so, you know, you do it a little more effortlessly or you wake up excited about it or what have you. But, you know, there's work to be done at the end of the day. And then I know folks that do that work, and we have conversations all the time. And it's real painful for me when I have those conversations with folks that aren't stationed at the same base as I am, right? So I'm trying to be that friend, that mentor, that sounding board for folks that are at other units. And then they get hit with kind of what you were talking about, Chief, was like, I am doing all that. I'm doing it, right? Yeah. Clay told me how to do it. I did it to a T, right? Here's the thing. And I'm still just, everybody's piling on top of me when it comes time for, you know, rack and stacks and all this. And so I think that's important too. And I guess I would ask, you know, for those folks that are, because my boy's going to be screaming when he hears this, he's going to be like, yo, that's what I'm talking about, right? So, you know, for folks that are in his position, how do you reach out and get your EPR to folks that that do have that sauce, that can give that feedback and those magic sprinkles? Because I tell you, before I found the value in it, I felt like, oh, only like folks that are just chasing promotion and all this, you know, there's a bit of where it seems like you're gunning for this next stripe on a selfish level, right? When you start really caring about your own rewards, and maybe that's a culture thing, and maybe is even a maintenance thing, but I don't like writing on myself. I don't like writing decks. I don't like writing 1206s on myself. I don't like asking people how to make my stuff sound better. I'm almost that type of person that wants to put it on paper and hopefully people respect it. Yeah. I feel better going home. But what do you tell those folks that need to get their stuff looked at? How do they go about finding that wizard?
So I'll jump on this real quick. I have some, my computer is also saying I have some connectivity issues. So if I drop, we'll just jump right back on. But so I think there's a couple of things that are very important here, and something I didn't realize for a little while. Sometimes we know people we always know people from our perspective, right? So Clay, Eric, if I only see you from a distance, I don't work with you, I don't, you know, operate, don't mission, don't do anything, just see you from a distance. I see you on social media, you reach out to me, you're like, hey, Chief, I need some help with my EPR. You send me what you got, I'm gonna send you back a bunch of questions to how this side of the mission, what the support, how many people, blah, 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 all the science pieces, right? And I have no idea about the art of your leadership. And I can make your EPR potentially make it just screaming hot. You'd look like on records, the best mass sergeant on the base. But that's not doing you any favors if you're not the best mass sergeant on the base. So there's a danger there with us helping people with the goodness of our heart. Just, we believe people, we're believing in people, we try to help them. And then it's the job of the leadership at that base to say yes or no. You did do such a thing or you did not do such a thing. And that those are delicate situations. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, maybe even many times, that's how sometimes paper tigers are created, right? They'll say, hey, Chief, I need some help on the EPR. And I'm like, bam, here you go. And then maybe they got promoted because their supervisor just looked at it and said, hey, that's less work I got to do. It looks good to me. Press on. Unless it's in the senior NCO ranks, it's a little harder, right? Because you're not going to promote. Most career fields are not going to promote without a strap. So that's another whole thing that people don't talk about. And we can dig into that too, because stats don't lie. go to my purse, enlisted or enlisted promotions statistics. Oh my gosh, you do have to get a strat to get promoted in this career field. Who would have thought? Because people have been telling me half my career, don't worry about it, Eric. You don't need no strat. Yeah. I made it without a strat, bro. You don't need no strat. Well, pray do tell me why that 99.9% of the people in my career field that promoted had a strat. Like, help me understand that, Chief. So anyway, there's the danger in that of, you know, clapping people up when they don't need to be. The other piece of, to your question is, you know, you got to know who you trust, right? So we can really talk about building a circle, and that's probably a whole nother conversation, but building your circle, knowing who to put in that circle, you know, I'd say, you know, 5 to 10 people, whatever that is for most people, 5 to 10 seems to be a good number of people that are outside your career field, but people you connect with on the values level, like your personal values, right? Your purpose, your mission statement for your life. Those people that you connect with, they can also give you some of that hard feedback. Like, hey, bro, you're writing in your EPR that you went out and led the event. And dude, I saw your pictures and stuff you posted, man. Like, I think you were only there, you know, like you didn't lead that. So you need people in your circle that can hold you accountable. But you do have to put people in your circle. To your question pointedly, and that's a long way of saying, you have to ask people. If you really want to know, you're going to have to ask people. You're going to have to reach out to Chuck. You're going to have to reach out to Caleb. You're going to have to reach out to Eric. You see something in them that maybe inspires you or intrigues your interest. And you're going, hey, you know what? Something they said, something they wrote. I think maybe they might be able to help me. I'm just going to be the one to take their information, sit down and have a conversation like we're doing right now. I never give people, you can ask people to give feedback to. Very seldom do I look at an EPR or a package, all the EPRs, and give them my review on the little tool I use and just send it back to them. We sit and do a conversation like this. Like, here's what I'm reading your EPR. Why did your supervisor not say you're ready to be a best senior master sergeant? Why did they not say that? Why did your commander not say that? Do you know? And to Eric, again, I'm on my soapbox. Sorry, Chuck. I'll let you jump in here in just a second, brother. Or you can just say, shut up, Caleb. Let him talk. Is one of those things where we don't like to ask. Guess what? I was blessed with great leadership growing up. I grew up in the civil engineer community, and I'm not saying all engineers have the best leadership. There's probably people out there with bad stories. I don't have the bad stories. People were always looking out for me when I didn't even know that they were supposed to be, you know, that somebody should be looking out for me, you know, saying, hey, this word should be used there. And that's how I learned, right? So I don't have a story where I had bad leadership, but I do know people, I've coached people that their leadership, to my perception, to my perspective, weren't doing the hard work. They weren't saying, hey, Eric, come over here, man. I've recognized your leadership, bro. You're knocking it down. You're doing all the right things. Let me coach you, man. Let me help you with your EPR. They don't do that. Right. So sometimes you got to ask that question. Looking at the stats, you know, you're not going to get promoted. You know, you're doing all the things you should be doing to get promoted. And that's not the reason you're doing them, but it all lines up. Right. Because like Chuck said, you're doing it out of your heart. You're doing it for the right reason. You're doing it because you love the airmen, love the Air Force, and you're still not getting promoted. You got to ask that question because you looked at the stats. You know, you hadn't been stratted. You got about a 4-year window of being competitive, super competitive. And then once you're outside that 4-year window, this isn't written down. This is Caleb's perspective on it. But just check the stats on me. You got about 4 years in your strength zone, in the competition zone, and you don't have a strat. You got to ask somebody, hey, what's it take to get a strat push around here? What does it take to get the squadron commander for whatever level you're at, right? To get me pushed to the next level for a good solid look. What does it take? I mean, if sometimes you got to be blunt. I know, Eric, you said, hey, that's not me. And that's cool, man. I'm not trying to put that on anybody that you have to do that, but we have to understand the battle space. And if you don't understand the battle space and you just keep putting your head against the wall over and over and over, it without somebody telling you, hey, this is the battle space, then you're never going to get overcome it. So understanding the battle space, knowing like, hey, I need to go ask the question, but I'm not cool with that. Be cool with where you're staying then. You know what I mean? I don't want to step on toes. People got the composite toes up on their boots, hopefully. But we just got to be honest with people. If you don't understand the battle space, you're going to continue to be upset. That's some wise person one time, I don't remember who it was, said that's insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over, hoping for a different result. It's insane. So anyway, Chuck, jump in, brother. I'm going to talk all night. And that ain't nobody want to hear my voice.
Yeah, Chief. So you basically hit everything, right? There's really nothing for me to add. Eric, you just got to build that board of directors, man. Build it. Those people that's going to hold you accountable, right? Because here's the thing. My mentors, not just my mentors, look at my EPRs.
Yeah.
Right? They're my board that I know if I'm going to them with some things, right? And my stuff stink, they're going to tell me my stuff stink.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times when we build that circle around us, we build a circle of people that want that's going to tell us what we want to hear versus what we need to hear. That's not the type of circle you want. Right. You want somebody that's going to hold you accountable and tell you to sit your behind down somewhere. right? You're doing too much. It just so happened with those folks, right? They look at the EPR as well, right? And they give me feedback on it, because it doesn't matter how high you make it, you can always learn something.
Absolutely.
Right? So just because I'm a senior doesn't mean I have all the answers, but I guarantee you, if I reach out to 4, 5, 6 different other people, right, and get their perspective on things that I should and shouldn't be doing, I'm gonna come back with an answer that I need in order to move forward. So you pretty much nailed it all, Chief. Nothing for me to really add there, but I did want to encourage Eric and as well as those that are listening, get that board of directors. Somebody that's going to hold you accountable.
You're absolutely right, Chuck. So something else too, I'll throw out there, not just you, Eric, but to anybody, it's like the trends, right? So I'm going to have a little bit different perspective. Chuck's going to have a little bit different perspective, but what's the trend? What's kind of like the common theme running through all of our advice or all of our feedback? And if you get just off the right, off the rails, off in right field, left field, whatever, you're just like, well, that one's probably, let's go ahead and let that one hang out in left field because it probably ain't right. What are the trends? And again, you're modeling off, What have these people accomplished, right? And not only what have they accomplished, what's their character? Because you don't want to clap up, right? You don't want a poser that you're modeling after, but what is their character? Does Caleb's character reflect his rank and his position? And if it doesn't, then you know what? Don't listen, Caleb, right? Because you're not trying to model after somebody you don't respect. So I know you had some other stuff too, Eric, you were talking about earlier on when we first jumped on. And I don't think we've hit all of it yet. Take me back to, I think you said, I can't remember the gentleman's name, and maybe we shouldn't say it on here. We didn't ask his permission, but he did put it on social media where everybody could see it. But your boy, as you called him, he had something else. You said, hey, this, he's going to be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Do you feel like we've answered his question and maybe from y'all's conversation, things that you've talked about? Do you feel like we've done an adequate job providing info?
Yeah, I think you did a great job. I think that's really it, right? It's just that kind of that lower perspective where it seems like, you know, there's that thin line where you almost, we can go down this route. So that thin line between the person that's trying to be the poser and is the poser. So, yeah. So, you know, like what my boy was talking about or what I was talking about with my boy, you know, that thin line between the person that is the poser, the person that wants to be and is trying, is great at being the poser, right? It's working for him. And then the one that is just going with the flow and is thankful that people got his back and those folks are pushing him maybe a little faster than he needs to be going. You know, how do you reconcile that difference? And then at what point do we just run our own race, right? And not worry about the left and right of us. And then at what point do we offer that feedback and how do we do that? So I think you guys both answered the question of, you know, how to avoid one being that, right? Mm-hmm. How to break out of that race with those others for that individual. But I think still, you know, understanding how they're made or how a poser is propped up, and then how do we talk about it with each other? You know, or is it any of our business, right? Should we even care what the other folks are doing if we're handling business?
Yeah. So for me, I know Chief kind of mentioned about the competition, right? We're competing with each other earlier. I'm gonna shift a little bit. One of those John Maxwell books I've read, I don't compete with people, I complete them. One of the things I'm very fortunate about what I have here at J-Bear, we have 5 seniors in my squadron, 5. We collaborate. We meet on a weekly basis and we do lunch with each other and we figure out how we can support each other, right? I can have an effort that I'm pushing from Crucial Convo or with Best Barrier Analysis Working Group. And I can go to my senior colleagues and like, hey, I need help. Y'all got people within y'all flight that can assist with this, right? And they can be working initiatives on their, and I'm gonna support them, right? I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna make sure they have the things they need so they can be successful. So I'm all about collaborating versus trying to compete with others. And to your point, I don't worry about the person to the left or right of me.
Right.
We all run at different paces. If somebody's running full speed ahead, you go right ahead. I'm a pretty big boy. I'm pretty slow. Right. I'm going to run my pace so I can last the race versus me trying to keep up with the person to the left or right of me. And I lose that stamina to finish the race. Right. You have to know what you want in the end. I can tell you, me as a senior right now, I kind of talked to Chief about this. I don't care if I make Chief.
Yeah.
Right. I can tell you the people that I've impacted over the years. Pretty sure we're going to have a pretty high success rate of those folks making Chief. If they make it, I've made it because I did my job to make sure I can get them where they need to be. I'm at 20 years. I can retire. Yeah. Right. And be happy. So those folks that are out there and the only thing they have is chasing stripes, trying to get promoted. Who are you when you leave? You can't take those stripes with you. Right. So what do you
they'll want have to build yourself? Have them own, Chuck. They'll have them own, but they'll be by themselves.
Right. Right. It's one of those things, man. I tell my airmen, right, this Air Force thing have to come to an end. I care more about you as a person than I do as an airman, because if I can make you a better person, I can make you a better airman, right? So I'm in the business of building people. So when life after the Air Force, you know, when this Air Force thing is over and then they have life after the Air Force, it's not one of those things where, man, I gave everything to the Air Force, right? I did all of these things to make rank and I didn't do it. I didn't make it. Okay, so what you gonna do after, right? Yeah. So all of those people that pose to make it to the top in this Air Force world, they're gonna struggle when life hits they behind when the Air Force is over.
Hey, Chuck, let me jump in real quick on this. So I know I use the word competition and competing. So when I'm talking about it, it's like on the boards, right? So the boards don't know any of us. Sometimes you know each other, but most of the time you don't, right? So I'm talking about being competitive for promotion records wise, right? So your records are typically competitive for about 4 years when you're in the zone. Nobody will say that. It's not written down anywhere, but just look at statistics and you're eligible for promotion to senior master sergeant. And you go 4 years, and then that next pack is already going to pass you. And the next thing you know, you're getting closer and closer to higher tenure. And most of the time, you're not in the pack anymore after 4 years. So I wholeheartedly agree with you, Chuck. I think more in it about being collaborative. All of us want, a lot of us, not all of us obviously, want to be collaborative and work together. And that says a lot about your character, Chuck. And that's why your leadership team, when I sent them that little email on the side, I'm like, hey, bro, Chuck's nailing it to the wall. You know, he's doing great things. And they were like, yeah, absolutely. It's reflected everywhere. Your leadership team speaks highly of you because they see the same thing that I saw at Ellsworth and then continue to see it throughout your life. Not everybody's like you, bro. Not everybody's like Eric. We just got to be honest with ourselves. We're not better than anybody. I'm not implying that at all, but we're different, right? Me, I'm different in some probably not the greatest ways, right? I'm different, but we're all disruptors. We do things a little different. We have to understand that we can't hold everybody to our standard. We hold them to Air Force standard, but we can't hold them to Chuck's standard, Caleb's standard, Eric's standard, because our standards are just a little different. We're not better, but we just see life differently. We move at a different pace. We move erratically sometimes, and it confuses people or upsets them when they're trying to pattern what we're doing, right? The other piece of this I want to touch on, to Eric's friend, I think, so to your point, Chuck, all of your seniors, y'all probably get along. You're probably all good people. You're probably good airmen. Sometimes it ain't that way. Yeah. And I think sometimes that's where Eric's friend might be, where he's like, I'm doing it for all the right reasons. But I'm telling you, bro, when I played football, my ass wanted to be on the field, right? I wanted that starting position, not because I wanted the crowd to cheer for me. I just want to tear somebody's head off because I was a defensive lineman. Some people have a real hard time standing on the sidelines. When you've done everything that you should have done in the quote unquote followership realm, you're doing all the right things. You're taking care of people. You're trying to make it better for people, but you want to be on the field. You want to be playing out there, right? You're a performer. You're not a poser. You can't stand on the sideline in your uniform, just look pretty. You want to get out there and mix it up. So that's a real challenge for people when they see, you know what, I'm doing all these things and I know for a fact Johnny over here ain't doing those, but Johnny getting promoted and that hurts. So it's not that they're not in all cases, right? You're right. When there's a different line of people chasing stripes, and that might be Johnny we're describing, but it's the people that want to make a difference and continue to increase their platform to truly take care of airmen. It's not, you're right, it's not about the stripe, but it hurts them because they know that the airmen are also seeing that when people that shouldn't be promoted are getting promoted. Other point, last point on this. Sometimes we got to look in the mirror, right? I wrote an article on this one time, and I'm not only saying this because I wrote an article on it. Sometimes we ain't the best, right? Sometimes we think we are, and we think Johnny really sucks, and we think Johnny ain't doing what Johnny's supposed to be doing, but sometimes we're wrong, right? And we got to be, got to have that circle that helps us see that you talked about earlier, Chuck, that don't just say, hey, everything's good. Like my friend Katie, I had her on last night. She's like, sometimes, you know, people just pat my hair and say, oh, you're looking pretty. You want some rocky road? Let's go talk about this. And that's not what she needed to hear. She needed to hear, hey, you're jacked up. You need to fix yourself. So we got to have a little bit of introspection sometimes and say, hey, is Johnny really off course? Or I just got filled with a little bit of jealousy and hatred and malice. I'm not saying that's for your friend, Eric, right? I'm not saying he needs to do that or she needs to do that. But in some cases, it is. And I know it's that's kind of all over the place, but I'll try to put it in a real big circle of there's some things, different things that are, could be going on. And you're right, Chuck. I wish everybody could be collaborative. I wish they could. I wish it wasn't a Hunger Games. You know, we thought that was, you know, something kind of funny. Some people thought it was funny on Facebook and stuff or whatever platform you're looking at. Like, oh, the new EPR became the Hunger Games. It's been that way for senior NCOs for a long time. Right. And now it has become that way in even our lower ranks. So if you think about it, senior airmen through technical sergeant, those are straps. That's essentially what that is. Right. So to your point earlier, Chuck, what are we doing to model that collaborative effort? Are we rewarding the people that we see that are collaborating and helping each other become a better team? Are we saying, hey, Chuck is the leader of that collaboration effort? They're all collaborating, but he's the one that's gelling that together. He's the leader in that bunch. That's the one we want to lift up. Not the one that's not collaborating, not the one that's looking to make themselves look better. To Eric's point, I think sometimes, you know, that's the easier, that's always there at the right place at the right time. I see Johnny here at this, Johnny at the right place, at the right time. And we know that tying a face to a name, that does have some sway. Some people are really good at that. They go to the right events at the right times. Going back at the squadron and the flight level, that's when they're supposed to say, hey, guess what? Caleb he was at that meeting, but his shop was failing. His section was failing. His flight was failing, or that technical sergeant or that other, you know what? Chuck, the collaborator, was there holding all that crap together when Caleb's out showing his face. So Eric, I might be off base, but it seemed like that's how you were kind of asking the question of kind of like, hey, you know, what about it when we know it stinks, when we know there's poo out there that stinks and nobody else is looking at it. Chuck, how about helping him understand him and his friend of like, hey, when is it, is there ever a time where you go, in his case, let's say they're mass sergeants, hey, senior, or hey, chief, I'm struggling on some stuff. Because, you know, it sounds like he had asked a question too about, is there a time where you go and say something about it, or you just kind of say, hey, it's time to PCS and we move on. What's your advice on that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, chief, if I have a problem, right, I'm one of those ones that will ask a question. I would go talk to the individual. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a heart to heart. Right. But I get it. Everyone does not like that. Because here's the thing, we could outside perspective looking and thinking that an individual is a poser when they're actually putting in work. Right. And what happens is we assume, right. We already know what assumptions make. Right. We know what assumptions mean.
Yep.
So just ask the question, have a conversation with them. That's where the collaboration piece comes into part. I want what you got. How can we get there together? Yeah. Right? And you can have those folks, Eric, and to your friend, and be like, nah, I'm running this race by myself. That just answered a question for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it takes a lot of emotional intelligence, right, to be able to come at, have that conversation with someone, say, hey, I see you shining, right? I want to shine with you. That's a tough statement to make. Especially in a promotion system that we have, because you're basically admitting that you were ahead of me, and I would like to catch you, please, right?
And I know. No, my bad, Eric. Not to cut you off. Go ahead.
But yeah, it's just I think that is really tough, and I'm glad that we're starting to focus on EQ and emotional intelligence and things like this. You know, in the past we've called it, you know, the squishy stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I love the fact that we as a force, and I don't know if it's because, you know, the next generation keeps, you know, moving up. But we're putting that investment more on the emotional side and the human side of things. And we're starting to really, what it seems like to me at least, figure out that, you know, we're not as linear as we thought we were as a military. And certainly the newer folks that are coming in, you know, I briefed these FTEC classes. And I let them know, y'all are 4 or 5 generations younger than me, you know, I'm at 20, you are at, you know, month 2, right? Or 5, depending on your school. You may not understand a word I'm saying, right? Why is this old guy up here talking? But one thing I can tell you is these folks that are coming in, and I say folks, someone called me out for saying folks, and they say, who says folks? But you know, it's because I'm 40, right? But
your old tail up there calling for folks.
But you know, these new airmen coming in, they're so emotionally intelligent. And it's, you know, things that we've done and the things that we've said and kind of just taken as gospel, as military, as that rank and file. Yes, sir. We're not questioning anything. You know, we used to operate just like this. I didn't see that you were a woman. I was not allowed to see that you're gay, right? We did not focus on almost anything emotionally, right? That was something that they threw at you in ALS. How are you going to handle this, you know, when someone's person dies and it, you know, that was the extent that we spent on emotion. And now when you look at that truly effective leadership and the question becomes, how do we lead these folks? How can we? Because right, that's the key to leadership, is how do I get the people to do the thing that needs to be done, right? Or how do I get them to want to do it and be happy about doing it, right? Yeah. Do it with pride and professionalism. It's that emotion, right? Like it's just like Chief said, you know, the same thing getting promoted. Tie that EPR to the hearts of the board, right? It's emotion. And so, you know, when we engage with emotion, I'll tell you, and we open up and we're vulnerable and we say, hey, look, I see what you're doing and I want to be there with you. That for the folks in my age peer group, that's very hard. The young ones probably are going to have a lot easier time with it. I promise you that. Yeah. But 360 feedback, right? I just tell a quick story, and I don't want to monopolize time, and Chief, feel free to cut whatever needs to get cut out for brevity's sake. But
I'm cut out everything you say. I'll play it, man. You know, I got to keep it lively in here.
So I got to give a shout out to my boy Zeus, David DeJesus, yep. Right?
Rock star. Beast.
Y'all know we ran Fuel Shop together, right?
Hey, real quick, Eric.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't put much, but he can't see it, but tell him I'm catching him on them gains. He think he got some big arms.
So I don't know if you've seen him lately.
I know he's a straight monster.
That man showed up to PCS and I caught up and I said, oh man, he was on a mission out there in Korea.
Didn't know they made OCPs like that.
I think he's in a new set. I think he's got a new set.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Anyway, go ahead, man.
But yeah, but we were running Fuel Shop together, right? And to put it in perspective, it was about a 40-person section, aircraft maintainers, dirty work, smelly work, you know, 12-hour shifts can be the norm, you know, your weekend snatched from you. So it's that work that you hear people, the loud ones talk about, right? And we had a very dynamic section, as you'd expect with having 40 maintainers, right, from all walks of life. And we had some go-getters and some clear superstars that needed very little direction. We really asked for their help more than offered direction. And then you had some folks at the bottom that just didn't want to play ball. You had some in the middle that didn't know how, didn't understand the rules, or wasn't making it, didn't make it to practice or preseason, and they don't even really know how to play ball. So we had this myriad of talent, right? And in lack of sometimes. And we had to have a lot of tough conversations with folks. And, you know, Chief, when you talk about having those people in your corner that's gonna, you know, be up front with you and say, hey, you're not cutting it. You're doing great, but let me give you some things you need to work on. We take it one way from leadership, but going back to the 360 part is we take it a whole different way from laterally and then from our subordinates. No one wants to hear from their subordinate how where you're missing the mark, right? Because you're trying to model an example 24/7. But we did this 360 feedback. And what we did is we took all the airmen and we put them in a room with a whiteboard, and we had them rank all of the NCOs, rack and stack all the NCOs, and then provide reasons, good and bad. They had to do positives and negatives. And then we had them do themselves amongst themselves. And then we did the same thing. We ranked ourselves as NCOs, and then we ranked our airmen with positive and negative input and or constructive, right? Yeah. And let me tell you, we had one of our best maintainers, who by all accounts thought that they were at the top of the list, found themselves down at the bottom next to a person that didn't even want to maintain. But through that transparent feedback and hearing from their peers and hearing from the supervisors that these were unanimous decisions, and this is why, right? That person, I mean, a lot of emotions flowed, but you saw that everyone came from that place of collaboration, like Chuck was talking about, because we did this to get better as a team. We didn't do this to single anybody out. We did this to figure out where everybody was and how do we help those folks that need help to get that upward mobility, right? And we had a couple folks say, you know what, I'm gunning for the top spot. I want that top spot. And I'm going to do whatever people tell me it takes. But now they're looking laterally and they're looking for anybody to give them that feedback on how to move up. It's not, we took away the uneasiness of asking that question of where am I failing? Or what do I need to do more of? And I tell you that next EPR season, that mechanic that was down second to last in about 20 people, promote now. Promote now and took a strike. And I solely attribute that to that 360 feedback. If it was, we've had one-on-ones back in the office that, hey, this is what we need from you. You gotta do this, right? They walk out and they still wanna be who they wanna be. They still be who they wanna be. You do that transparent 360 feedback from peers. And I guess that's maybe a way of forcing us to ask the question laterally.
Yeah, I think too, it's more than one person, right? So even if it was a group of superiors, you know, definitely from when it's your peers or your subordinate saying, hey, Caleb, X, Y, and Z, it's going to sting. And what I've learned too, Eric, and y'all probably noticed it, there's, like you said, I think you alluded to it or even said it, like there's some emotion. There's an emotional response when you find out you suck or you're not as good as you thought you were.
Yeah.
But what I have seen and what I have learned, and Chuck, you probably attest to this as well, that you start separating people that have good character and people that are a little bit flawed character. Because over time, sometimes it's, you know, within a couple of hours, sometimes it's within a day or two or maybe a week, you come back and you're like, all right, cool, I suck in this area, what do I need to do to get better? Because a lot of people want to be better. There's some out there that are narcissists, right? That's what we're describing as narcissism, when they're like, you know what, screw Eric, he doesn't know what he's talking about, I'm not that bad. But when it's Caleb and Eric and Chuck and 25 other people that say, hey, you know, you need to work on these areas. And I see it as pros and cons, right? That's kind of like how the Marine Corps does it, pros and cons. If they're younger ranks and they're fit reps, they do pros and cons. But anyway, same concept. And then over time, you see about probably 80% of the people are like, all right, let's get together, let's get better, let's collaborate, like Chuck's talking about, let's get after this. And you got that 20%. Maybe it's not exact science, right? And those percentages, it's kind of the old Pareto's principle, right? There's some out there that are true narcissist, right? They're just going to be like, you know what? Forget all y'all. I know I'm better than y'all. And you can really start separating some stuff. But Chuck, I know you got a couple of words on that. And then I'd like us to talk about, you said something earlier, Eric, about linear. And I'm thinking structure, organizational structure. I don't know how much longer the DOD keeps the structure that it's in. I don't know how much longer we can really do that over time. And I know I'm going to really ruffle some feathers when I start talking about that. And then there's a lot of different ways that, you know, that we can retain talent. If we pay talent right, maybe there's leadership channels and maybe there's SME channels and all those other types of things. I'd love to explore that. But on the 360 feedback, Chuck, I opened it up for you. If you had any comments on what Eric said, and then I'd like us to jump into let's speculate for just a bit and let's live in the future for just a bit. And what would 360 feedback at a Air Force level look? What would that look like?
So I don't have anything to add per se, Chief, but Eric, once we finish this call here, I would like to talk a little bit more about that. So we can look into doing something like that here, because you're absolutely right. A lot of times people don't want to have the difficult conversation, right? Where we can go and solicit feedback or give feedback or stuff like that. I do want to explore that idea. I want to talk to you more about it so we can look into doing something like that here, because Chuck, feel comfortable talking to anyone. I don't care, right? We can have the conversation. I know I might be a little upset about some of the things that relate to me, but here's where reflection comes in at, right? We all have blind spots. We all have those known unknowns and unknown unknowns and stuff. So I always welcome feedback, right? I reflect on it. If it's something that I can apply, right? I digest that thing. If it's something where like, I'm not seeing it that way, just spit it out, right? Spit the bone out. Eat the meat, spit out the bone. But I definitely reflect on those things that people tell me, because I want to be better, right? We're not the best. No one's the best, right? Someone can always come behind you and do better. So I welcome all type of feedback, but you're right, Eric. A lot of people don't like to give it, and a lot of people is not good at receiving it. So I want to talk more about that with you offline.
Eric, let's keeping it real here. Like, there was some good stuff that came out of that. Was there any, looking back at it, are there any cons to it that you're like, dang, didn't see that coming, didn't see how that was going to respond, or that person respond or take that? Was there anything to, you know, because I know Chuck said he wants to catch up with you later, but I'd like to explore just a little bit, because there's not going to be a later for other people listening, right, potentially. Yeah. So if they're wanting to try that, just are there any cons they should be aware of if they're going to try something like that?
So, sure, Chief. So one, we didn't experience any, I wouldn't say cons, right? Obviously, people got emotional, right? There are some, you know, tears of anger, maybe tears of sadness or despair. You know, we definitely dug deep. I wouldn't call those cons, because that's the real work, right? That's that human work. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, a lot of times that feedback, oh yeah, dude, keep doing what you're doing. Let me remind you of our three core values. Okay, sign here. Here's your benefits fact sheet. All right, see you in 6 months, maybe, right?
That's on a good day, bro. I don't know what organization did that for a long time.
That's if you get it, right? So I wouldn't call it cons, but definitely emotions were flowing. And I think one thing I would say, And I normally tell people this if they're thinking about using it, is one, it is imperative to understand from the jump. Best case scenario, you've already got a culture of trust. Everyone already trusts that whatever you're trying to do with the team is for the benefit of the team and not of one or two or yourself.
That's key, bro. That's key.
If you've got that culture already, then you're pretty much good to go, right? If you don't have that culture, say you work in a place where you don't have those contact hours, or the structure isn't the same, I'm getting ready to find out, tentatively, this is the Chief's chili, but I think I'm shirting for FSS, which is gonna be a completely different ball of wax than maintenance. But, you know, if you don't have that culture set up, then you need to preface this thing honestly, you know, truthfully, from a place of empowerment and improvement. So folks gotta trust that everyone else is there to help them all get better. Yeah. If you do that, then you know what? Doesn't matter how many tears flow with that. I mean, you know, it got real. And you know, folks were asking the question, do I stay in or get out? Type real. Mm. And we were there for them then too. Hey, you want to get out? Check it out. The airlines are hiring here. What would you like to do? We'll set you up there too. No one here is bitter. But we got to the point of driving those conversations and figuring and helping folks figure out what do they want? What do they want to be? How much do they want to commit to the team? No cons that we saw, thankfully, which is why, you know, I offer that to others because it worked for us. I don't think it's a magic pill, but I do think, you know, there's that work that you need to work on culturally to make sure that everybody is in that comfortable spot to share that candid feedback. Because if no one trusts the folks that are putting it on, now it's just everybody's just going to use it as a teardown session or something, you know? And
yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would say.
I think it would be really cool, man, if you could go back and meet with the team, you know, years down the road and just kind of see like, hey, what were the ripple effects of that? You know, are these stories like, hey, this one time, not that you're looking for praise, but this one time, this mass sergeant, yeah, ain't going to believe this crap right here. And it's in a good vibe, right? A good story. Because I just wonder how that's benefited people. You know, the trust is huge, man, because when I don't trust somebody and you coming at me, I don't care what rank you are. You coming at me to give me some feedback and you don't know me, you don't have that trust built and you're going to be critiquing something. I'd say to anyone, and this is what I tell wing commanders, you know, when we're talking about like, you know, hiring chiefs and things like that, ask a question. Ask why. Hey, I noticed this behavior, like situation, behavior and impact, SBI type feedback. Here's what I saw occur. Here's the behavior, you know, here's the situation, here's the setting, here's the behavior, and here's the impact. Here's how it made me feel. Here's how it made some other people feel. Caleb, helping me understand where you're coming from on this so I can help. So if you don't have that trust, right? When you're part of teams or you're part of like EOD, when I say teams, like some operators and stuff, and when you're supporting them, I've had some unique opportunities. The trust level is so high that, and I grew with that team that I could walk in and be like, Eric, and I won't even say the word, but un-F yourself. And you know instantly what I'm talking about. You respect the fact that I told you to do that, but that's our culture. You see a lot of that in like SEAL and stuff like that, right? Jocko Willick talks a lot about that. You will not be able to take that to FSS. I promise you, bro, that ain't going to work. You're going to walk up and say that ain't going to work. No, so talking about building that trust, that is so great. Yeah, write that one down, man. You know, that works in some settings. Now, even if you're brand new to that SEAL team, and we'll use SEAL team as an example. I never served with the SEAL team. But if you were to use that, you're brand new and you walk in there, you know what's about to happen. You got to have that trust and that respect built. So, man, that is awesome. Yeah, Chuck, let me know if you do decide to do that. We don't have to go public with it or anything, but I'd love to hear how that, because I've used like the, it's like Slido, SLI.do. It's a platform you can use for anonymous feedback. And I've gotten some good feedback from that, you know, but you just blast it out and people can anonymously, you know, respond to that when I was at the squadron at the group level. You know, and just kind of get some feedback that way. But having the team, man, that makes it real. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like when it's anonymous, you can take the feedback. And like Chuck said earlier, if it's kind of like, oh, I'll spit the bone out. You're kind of like, you could do that with a lot of you, but like, you don't know me. It really wasn't that way, but it's your team that knows you, man, that's powerful. That's some powerful stuff, you know? And what I have also learned is when people do stuff like that in that setting, you're a little bit hesitant to give somebody that feedback, see how it's taken. But they don't blow up and they don't smack you around or whatever, right? Not necessarily in a physical way, but that too, I guess, you know, Will Smith, Chris Rock, too soon. Anyway, I digress. But you know what I mean? Like, so they see it like, oh, okay. All right, now I'm a little more receptive. You know what? I gave somebody else some feedback. Now I'm going to have to receive some feedback too. So I don't know if you saw those dynamics within the team or not, but good stuff. Hey, I don't pay for this call. So it looks like I got a timer. It's got 6 minutes, yo. and they're going to kick us off again. We're going to have to break this into two parts. That means it's been over 100 and I don't know, math stuff, over 80 minutes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
but any parting thoughts? Let's wrap it up if you don't mind. And we can always jump back on and do it again. You know what I mean? Eric, let's start with you for some wrap-up comments. And Chuck, we'll head over to you for some wrap-up comments. And then we'll be out, yo.
Yeah. No. So once again, thanks for having me on here. I love building with y'all. Both y'all are huge role models. So thanks for your time. And then doing this overall, right? So I've been listening to the podcast in the Crucial Convos too. So both of y'all in your own rights are putting things out there for the masses to consume. And I think that's great. So I just want to say thank you to you both. Parting thoughts. I think this was a pretty comprehensive episode. I know my boy is going to go nuts. So I'm going to tell him pop some popcorn before he turns it on. when I heard part one, my perspective is always, I'm always the abstract guy, right? I think that's what disruptors are. It's like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Now let me go find the other side of it.
Yeah. Right? I love it.
So I just wanted to bring that, and I think y'all addressed it, well. I think it's a good bow to put on it. So, I've got nothing to add.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother. If your circle says, hey, you know what, that was good. I like the popcorn. I had some good conversation, but we need more. Let us know, bro, and we'll keep getting after it. We'll bring them on if need be. You know what I mean? So, this ain't a one and done type of thing. Thanks. Appreciate you being on, brother. Chuck, what's up, man?
Chuck Ladder. Hey, thanks for the part two. You didn't fire me after part one, Chief. This was phenomenal. Thanks for bringing a different perspective onto the call, Eric. This was phenomenal. And I echo Chief, if folks that listen to it would like to come on and we do this again, where we go back and forth with the dialogue, I'm cool with doing that as well. These are the things that I enjoy doing. So this is like no extra work for me, because I believe in pouring back into others where they can pull up into other ones, other folks, right? It's like a ripple effect, right? You throw that one little small pebble out there and then you create waves and stuff. So I'm all about doing this. And for you, Eric, I know you don't like for people to ask people for help. Send me your records as well as your friend if you want someone to take a look at his records as well. And anyone out there, right, if you want a records review and you want to get some good feedback on things that that I see within your records, of course, it's my perspective and my perspective only. I'm willing to do that for you guys. But this was awesome, Chief. Appreciate you bringing us on to have this conversation here. These are things that we should do more often within our sphere of influence, where we can have these real talks, right, and get after our nation's business and get after development of our people.
Absolutely. So I think, man, what we might do is you talked about it a little bit from the last one. Maybe we do we set it up. I need a little bit of time to finish some stuff up, but maybe give this time to kind of marinate with some people, and then maybe do myself and you and Eric and maybe another person or two, and maybe we'll do like a little panel or something, and have people where they can dial in, kind of like you do on Crucial, and have people where they can dial in and maybe ask questions. I think that'd be good. So and we get Eric ready for that shirt business. You know what I mean? Like bang, bang, bang on the spot, fire, fire, fire. New magazine, reload, we going. But on a serious, man, y'all are in some critical positions. And bear with me for just a minute when I brag on y'all for a little bit. So critical positions, not just to get after our nation's business. That's vitally important. That's why we wear the uniform. I get it. But take care of and speak truth to power to people's lives. Right? That's vitally important. And whoever's listening to this, wherever you're serving in the military or not in the military, we all have an opportunity to give back and to serve. And y'all do a phenomenal job of that. So for anybody that's listening, as I said last time, I don't bring them on the show unless they're legit and I trust their character. So you can trust both these fine American heroes that have been on the podcast with us tonight. And y'all are getting after some great things, making huge impacts in people's lives. So don't ever doubt it. Sometimes we're in a season of sowing. And that season can be real long sometimes. And maybe you get to see the harvest and maybe you don't. if you've ever been a place where you're like, man, this is great and everything's clicking, you're in the season of harvest. You might not have realized that, but you're harvesting what somebody else spent a lot of hard work, effort, tears, and sacrifice sowing. Y'all are both been in seasons, I know, before in the past for sure, that where you were sowing. And if you're in that right now, I just want to encourage you to keep sowing. At some point in time, your day, your harvest is coming, and you might not see it, but you know when you're doing the right things for the right reason. So anyway, enough out of my mouth. Just want to give y'all a quick shout out and some praise and appreciation. But until next time, y'all know the deal. Keep it real. Stay hard to kill. Love y'all. Thanks so